Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
We go to Brazil now, and the country is suffering through a second wave of COVID-19. Earlier this month, it was recorded 4,000 deaths recorded there in a 24-hour period. And we've heard of oxygen shortages and hospitals on the brink of collapse. But are things starting to turn a corner, or at least to plateau there? Well, in a moment, I'll be speaking to the Brazilian ambassador to Ireland, Marcel Beato. But first, for a view of what's happening on the ground in Brazil, I'm joined on the line by Tom Hennigan, South American correspondent with the Irish Times in Sao Paulo. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Claire.
So earlier this month, we heard that figure that one in four global deaths from COVID takes place in Brazil. The COVID daily death figures are truly frightening. Over 3,000 people, I know, are dying daily there from coronavirus. What signs are there that the situation is starting to stabilise, or are there signs?
There are. What we're seeing in the last week or two is, as you were saying, a plateau beginning to form. It's at a very high level. It's at numbers that, frankly, 2-3 months ago would have been unimaginable and frightening in the country. But deaths are now stabilizing just below 3,000 a day, which is still obviously a national tragedy, and the new cases are just beginning to fall off from peaks at the beginning of April that were reached. So they were up to 77,000 new cases a day at the beginning of the month. We're now down towards 62,000 new cases a day. So there is a sense of a plateau forming.
Still quite astonishing. Now, the P1 variant, which originated there where you are in Brazil, it's more transmissible, according to reports, than other variants. And over half of those hospitalised, this is according to France 24 in March, were under 40 years old. Can you tell us more about how dangerous the variant has been when it comes to younger people?
It's really a case of just being more transmissible. So the initial studies on it show that it can be up to 60% more transmissible than the original variant of coronavirus, which arrived in Brazil. And I think what's the problem with young people at the moment is Brazil's vaccination program is slowly but beginning to roll out effectively amongst the older age cohort in the country. And at the same time that the new variant started circulating here, it was the summer holidays. And because there had been a lull after the first wave, many people, particularly young people, thought that this pandemic was on the wane, that they could relax their guard. There were multiple reports from all over the country, particularly at holiday resorts, of huge crowds of young people partying together. And that was all happening as this new variant was beginning to circulate. And so that's why I think now we're seeing a much higher number of young people in hospitals compared to during the first wave.
And Tom, one of the recent reports on Sky News that really stopped people in their tracks was this news that people were being tied to beds so that they could be ventilated because there isn't enough sedation medication for COVID patients in hospitals. What can you tell us about that?
There have been reports that from a few places around the country, some of the medics have said, you know, that they're experimenting all different types of techniques in intensive care units to try and, you know, treat patients. There have been shortages of medicines. How much of this is due to shortages of medicines or because they're working on new techniques is not exactly clear. But it does highlight that the health system is running very hot here. There are hundreds of people dying because they can't get into intensive care units. And within those units themselves, all sorts of medications are in short supply. There have been warnings that they're about to run out on a national level or on a regional level. That hasn't actually happened yet, but that there are hotspots of problems all around the country of different levels of severity just because the enormous pressure that the health system is under.
Can we bring this to politics now? Because President Bolsonaro, we know, has said in the recent past, stop whining about COVID deaths. The Pfizer vaccine may turn people into crocodiles. But I was reading this morning in Time magazine, he has shifted his position in recent days.
He has obviously been forced to because Brazilians have seen the vaccine rollout in other countries and the impact that has had. So we've had numerous reports here in Brazil about Israel reopening, about the success in the UK of the vaccine rollout and the relaxation there. And I think Brazilians are realizing, well, vaccines are the solution to this problem. The problem for Bolsonaro is he spent most of last year and the beginning of this year a leading vaccine denier, and he was actively working to undermine the vaccine efforts of his own government. But having seen that the public have latched onto vaccines as the hope of getting out of this, he's now changed tack, and his administration is trying to recover lost time and running after and trying to source as many vaccines as possible. The problem is now they're at the back of the queue. And here in Brazil, it's actually the state government of Sao Paulo, which is leading the vaccine effort. So over 80% of all vaccines administered in Brazil are a Chinese vaccine that was developed in partnership with the state government in Sao Paulo. And if it wasn't for that, the situation would be far worse here. And it's worth remembering that last year, Bolsonaro was actively seeking to undermine that vaccine program. So he has changed. Now his administration is embracing vaccines, but it's really a 180-degree reversal from where he previously was on the issue.
Still quite a number, though, have been vaccinated, at least with the first shot. 32 million, I understand, at last count.
It's approaching 30 million, I believe, okay, who have had at least one shot. The exact number I don't know, but it is 16% of the population have had at least one shot, okay, latest numbers.
But you've got a population there of north of 200 million, just to put it into context.
Exactly. And the problem as well is that the vaccination program, because of the lack of preparation on and the part of the Bolsonaro government, is always teetering on a lack of supplies. So the Chinese recently sent new inputs for the Chinese vaccine that they're producing here in Sao Paulo. They came with a 2-week delay, and supplies were running very low around the country. Some cities had to stop vaccinating or pause vaccination. So there is a huge number of people still to go. The rate that they are vaccinating, it'll be months before the country reaches herd immunity. And therefore, you have medical organizations like the World Health Organization, like Médecins Sans Frontières, saying that the lack of enough vaccines and a relaxing of quarantine measures around the country, which we're already beginning to see, even though the numbers are still very high, means that the pandemic still has huge opportunity to spread and spread rapidly in Brazil, and even generate new variants which could cause problems further down the road.
Indeed, and we were hearing about that this morning on the programme in relation to what might happen in the populations that are fully vaccinated. Well, if you can stay on the line, Tom, please do, because I want to bring in the Brazilian ambassador to Ireland, Marcel Beato. Ambassador, you're very welcome to the programme. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for
and
having me.
Some strong criticisms there of what's happening on the ground in Brazil. You have a president who, up until very recently, was deriding the vaccination programme. You heard me repeating his comments there about the Pfizer vaccine may turn people into crocodiles. I mean, was this a sensible approach given how much Brazil and its people have suffered because of COVID-19?
Well, let me put it into context. I think I would emphasize the point that in Brazil, as in many other countries, it's a controversial issue. You're faced between very difficult choices of opening up and ensuring livelihood, and on the other hand, protecting your health. In countries like Brazil, for reasons I'm sure you understand, continental size, enormous diversity and variation between regions, social, economic, cultural, it's difficult to find the middle ground. The result is that, given our federative system of government, different regions, different cities adopt different policies. This is always, as I said, controversial, mm-hmm. and many times it has found itself in the courts.
You talk about trying to find a middle ground, but a president who says stop whining about COVID deaths is not trying to find a middle ground.
Well, as I said, it's controversial, and it's difficult to judge individual positions. All I can say is that, as your reporter has put very well, I think there is a growing understanding that we can learn from past mistakes and move forward. And I think that is really the focus that we have at this stage. And as I think you quite well put, the measures are on the ground. I would just add, if I may, vaccines are critical, but there is a concerted effort to ensure supplies. This is the fundamental challenge we have, and both domestically and internationally. And if I might just mention that even here in Ireland, we have been working with local enterprise who have availability of some of the resources, the what they call intubation kit, as well as vaccines from other countries like India and China, to ensure that we do not have a shortfall that will hinder our efforts as we move forward.
So that's interesting to people here. So you have been trying to source intubation kits in Ireland from manufacturers in order to send to Brazil to help.
Exactly. Well, in fact, this is a national policy, and we have reached out to countries all over the world. And in the case of Ireland, we identified, I think, roughly 19 companies. Ireland is an important exporter of pharmaceuticals, including to Brazil historically. And in fact, two specific companies have been identified and already on the ground working with Brazilian authorities and local enterprise to provide this equipment.
So clearly there is a problem then in Brazil with medical supplies to deal with treating COVID-19 in hospitals.
I think that's undeniable. I think I wouldn't deny that at all. The real challenge here, as has been well put, is to ensure that all efforts move in the same direction. And I think this is what we have seen certainly recently coming from the government or working with all levels of in our federal system, as well as private enterprise, which has also been tapped to contribute. So, yes, vaccines, if I may just complete something of what was said previously. So we have a fairly, I think, accelerated rollout just this month. 12 million doses have already been jabbed or given out. We hope this will continue to accelerate. A Brazilian or two variants of Brazilian vaccine, some using foreign technology, others not, are being developed. So we hope that by mid-year, maybe July or something like that, we will have our own, what's it called, the API, yes, the active pharmaceutical ingredient, will have been developed in Brazil, and so then we can really accelerate
production. You'll be making your own, is what the hope is.
Yes.
Over the weekend, a number of your counterparts in Europe, ambassadors to Ireland from various European countries where their citizens are subject to mandatory hotel quarantine, they were quite critical of the Irish system. They questioned why their citizens were on this list and had to spend 2 weeks in a hotel. Not so you. You said the system was sensible, did you not?
Yes, I think, I just think that we have to respect other countries' decisions. I talked about the controversies in Brazil. I'm sure controversies occur here. You have to make difficult choices between closing shops and allowing people to get on with life. So we rather not judge insofar as we can, and we have been collaborating as intensely as possible. We have been putting out to the Brazilian community, which is 50,000 strong here, the information. And we have, quite frankly, not heard any significant complaints. We obviously hear people complaining about having to stay 2 weeks in a hotel, but no questioning of the policy. And frankly, we just hope that by helping ensure that it is effective, that it will be lifted as soon as possible.
Ambassador Beato, thank you for joining us today, and also Tom Hennigan, South America correspondent with the Irish Times.